This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. I want to start here on the show this hour with the Mariner situation. And it was a no-brainer that they had to force Kevin Mather to resign. The Mariners president and CEO was talking to a Rotary Club a couple of weeks ago, and his comments surfaced. Now, I don't know why Kevin Mather, who has been with the Mariners for many, many years, would think that a Rotary Club on February the 5th were A, going to be private, or B, was the audience where you would basically say, I don't know, about five different things that could get you suspended or fired. But there was like five different things that were all in poor taste or ignorant to say. Now, this is a guy that has risen through the ranks of the sports world to become the CEO and president of a Major League Baseball operation. So you don't usually just fall into that unless your dad owns the team. But somehow Kevin Mather was sophisticated enough in saying the right things, even if he wasn't thinking them, to eventually rise to CEO and president of a Major League Baseball team. Kind of a big deal. And then did a freaking Rotary Club meeting, and the comments get posted online because, of course, and suddenly he realizes, yeah, lapse in judgment. Number one, the Mariners had to fire him. Had to. Because he didn't just offend one group of people, or didn't offend just one group of his franchise, didn't just offend one player. He offended everybody. I mean everybody. This guy's a total ass. A total jackass. And the reason you can't keep him around, and spare me the politically correct stuff of, oh, you can't say anything anymore. No, this is not what that is, okay? This is about you are one of the faces and the voices of the franchise. And so it's very important that you're on message. This isn't about some dopey freedom of speech thing that people get misconstrued all the time. You are paid to say certain things and to hold certain messages and to be a certain representative of a $800 million to $1 billion enterprise. So if you don't reflect those things properly, you will quickly and summarily be dismissed from the job. It's part of the job, you see. It's part of the job. You know, you want to go down the line of free speech in 2021 and how a line cook at Burger King says something on Twitter that's racist and that he gets fired, and you say, well, he's not. Freedom of speech. Say whatever you want. Okay. Although Burger King does have the right to say we don't want a guy that has those thoughts to be employed, or we don't want somebody that could hurt our brand employed. But you could say he's just a line cook. Who cares if he's racist? But a guy that is paid to be your voice, he's the president of the team, can't be trusted going to Rotary clubs and saying all these asinine things. And again, it's not just one thing that you could say, well, maybe that was taken out of context. It was everything. It was everything. And that is where I can't believe this guy was such a clown. Now, the people around Seattle seem to think, yeah, he had it coming because he's been a clown for a long time. It finally caught up to him. Okay, maybe so. Maybe Kevin Mather was always a disaster and just hit it best. But all of the things that he said were asinine. Everything he said was asinine. Okay? Number one, he is calling out the English skills of some of his international players. Former players, current players. Well, I don't really see the win there. Okay? You're bellyaching about paying for an interpreter. Where is this in the bylaws of Major League Baseball where 30 teams do this and have been doing this for 25 years, where you feel at this point you're going to start bellyaching and talking about how annoying it is and how you don't trust the English of your international players. Now, like 20 years into this process, I mean, Hideo Nomo had an interpreter how many decades ago? You've had many, many Japanese players there, many, many international players. This is what you do, okay? This is what baseball teams do. And by the way, it's smart business. You have players that come from international backgrounds that are not American, don't speak English as their first language, being asked to talk after 162 baseball games. Look, if I were to go and play in the Dominican, yeah, I took Spanish in high school and college. If I was playing in the Dominican for 162 games and I was being asked questions in Spanish, I would not feel great answering those. I would need an interpreter. I would hope that this is understood why this is of value. Okay? If any of us got plopped down to like the KHL to play Russian hockey and we were talking to the Russian media after 82 games, I think we'd all be like, yeah, you know, I don't feel great about my answers here. My Russian's not wonderful. I know you want me to speed it along here and get better, but like at this moment, I'm not feeling great about it. Why you wouldn't want to embrace your international players? Because you know what? There's really good players that come out of Latin American communities and Dominican communities and international communities like Japan and Asia and Taiwan and South Korea. Like, you want to make sure that you are supporting all of them and that those agents and those players don't feel like, oh man, if I go to the Mariners, I'm going to catch flack because I have an interpreter. Like, that, it's just bad business. It's horrible business to say that. It's horrible. That's the first strike. Okay, stupid. It's just stupid business. Number two, he's openly talking about manipulating service time with his young players. And like, it's a joke. Yeah, you know, we're not going to bring him up because obviously we want to make sure that he doesn't get to free agency fast enough. And he's probably going to be ready. But even if he's ready, it doesn't matter. We're not going to bring him up. You know, this can be a delicate situation in collective bargaining, right? This is something the Players Association already is bitter about. and you're kind of openly joking about it? Again, bad business. Really bad business. You are the team president and CEO, and you're openly making jokes about manipulating service time. This is not going to help the owners. It's not going to help your job. It's not going to help your team presidents and GMs when they got to get back to collective bargaining for the next go-round, which is just a year away. He goes on to call his best player overrated and overpaid, or at least overpaid. Again, why does it make sense to call Kyle Seager overpaid? You were part of the decision to pay him. You've been there forever. He's a guy that clearly the market value says that's his value because you offered that to him. If you didn't, somebody else would. That's why you offered him that deal. Why would you talk to a group of your fans and tell them your best player's overpaid? Again, bad business. Really stupid, terrible business. I mean, all of this, there was like five different things he said that is like, why would you say that? Well, why would you say that? Well, why would you say that? Well, why would you say that? Kevin Mather's got to be the biggest dope going. And the only thing I can think is that when you rise to power like that, you then feel as though you are impenetrable, that you are invincible, that you've been there that long, and that you just simply can't be fired. And so you just get real loosey-goosey. I mean, he joined the Mariners organization in 1996. Do you remember what you were doing in 1996? I was a junior in high school. He's been with the Mariners since I was a junior in high school. I'm turning 41 this year, and he doesn't realize that all of these things that he said, each one of them are potentially a fireable offense, let alone all of them, to a Rotary Club, no less. The decision-making there is so bizarre. So incredibly bizarre. And the only thing, like I said, I can think of is that you feel inside a bubble for so long that you know, these kind of crazy thoughts, they just can't take you down. Because, number one, you're not paid to be some type of, like, opinionist or humorist. You know, that job title is a very specific job title. You're there to be a corporate face for the franchise. You are not there to, like, do the rubber chicken circuit and to, like, shoot off the cuff. Had this been a secretly taped conversation between him and another executive, I'd be like, well, the Mariners are run by a wrong, you know, bad dude. Like, that's the wrong guy to have in charge. But, you know, he's talking about business with another business executive. And, you know, this is some of his thoughts on some of the stuff behind the scenes. Okay. But he's talking to a Rotary Club. He's talking to a freaking Rotary Club. It defies comprehension that Kevin Mather could be this stupid. This stupid. And again, all of that logic, by the way, is broken. Because if you're in a position of high influence within an organization and doing business this way, you should be doing business the opposite way of what you're bellyaching about. The business should not be to pay guys that you think are overpaid, especially if they're your best player. The business should not be making many of your employees feel less comfortable because you resent that they have an interpreter. You know, it should not be manipulating the service time to get into this war with the Players Association because you have to work with them and you also want to draw free agents there and to build a roster where guys want to play there. And part of that is agents will steer guys away from you because you jerked around their younger client for service time. Or you won't get that guy re-signed because of that. You know, it's really stupid logic for a guy that is part of the brain trust of the organization. So the Mariners had to fire him. But it goes to show you. It really goes to show you that people in positions of power, you can't always assume are really smart. You can't always assume that they they get it. You can't always assume that they got there and they're, you know, reasonable, you know, logical people. Some people just fall forward. Some people, they just step and bleep and fall forward. And you don't know how it happens. But, like, imagine running a franchise with those as your tenants. Like, those are your foundational beliefs of running a baseball team? Well, yeah, thanks. No thanks. We'll go somewhere else for the next president. When we come back here on the DA Show, speaking of the business of baseball and the business of professional sports in general, we'll talk to Molly Arbogast, CEO of a sports marketing firm, POV, who had some really interesting thoughts last year when the pandemic had first peaked about what sports was going to look like for the fan and from a business standpoint. She's going to join us coming up here next to tell us what the rest of 2021 is going to look like for us as sports fans. That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the DA. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We're on the DA Show. Happy Trash Tuesday to you, everybody. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM 206. And you can listen to us on your phone by streaming us. Use the radio.com app or tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Last year, at the start of the pandemic, when it really started hitting us, we had Molly Arbogast join us here on the show. Now, she has had a career in sports and sports events. She has worked for the Philadelphia Eagles, the WNBA, Learfield IMG, amongst others. And she had some really interesting thoughts on what 2021 was going to look like. Here's a clip of Molly's last visit with us last year.
I don't think we're back to normal, air quotes, until 2022.
2022. So you think that next calendar year, 2021, is going to be still an in-between experience, even if we do have a vaccine, where it's not going to be quite back to normal, but maybe 2022 is when things feel back to normal?
I think so. I mean, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but I think that the key in the business world is a lot of sports world right now is a lot of contingency planning. And I think we have to plan for that type of a scenario.
And that was Molly last year during the summer of 2020. So Molly joins us this morning here on the show. Molly Arbogast, President and CEO of POV Sports Marketing. Molly, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks so much for joining us. And you can always watch the simulcast as well at watchda.com. Molly is available for our simulcast. You can also watch on our Twitch channel at CBS Sports Radio. So Molly, in terms of where we were a little less than a year ago, let's say April or May, when things really started to kind of peak about sports being canceled, et cetera, versus where we are today, is there anything that is surprising to you of what we're seeing today, or was it all pretty predictable?
I think nothing was predictable in 2020. That's for sure. I was hearkening back to our interview. It was actually, I think, the Friday before Memorial Day. And I wanted to be wrong. I so badly wanted someone to walk in and go, you know, you really blew it on the DA show. we were back in September, full NFL stadiums. But the reality is, you know, pandemics take a while to run their course, and vaccines take time to be distributed. I mean, I think looking back at 2020 and where we are now, I applaud every single major league and how they pulled out the seasons that they did last year. I think that I am very optimistic at this point that we're going to start to see strong numbers of fans in venues across the country as early as April. I really do feel that way. I hear rumblings down the hallways of different league offices and team offices of what they're trying to achieve in different leagues. And I think that the return to normal it's here. It's coming. We're about to turn the corner, and I cannot wait, because I am buying tickets to every event I can go to in person, half seasons, full seasons, you name it, because I miss going to live events. And while the NFL and NASCAR and everybody did such a good job trying to make it feel like the same experience, nothing replaces live events and its place in our day-to-day lives.
No doubt. I agree with you. When that day comes and we've got full attendance in stadiums, do you think that there's going to be some type of check to make sure you got a vaccine, to make sure that you don't test positive? Will there be COVID checks? How do you think that stadiums will handle this?
You know, obviously it really gets into people's personal privacy and HIPAA. And they're asking people to disclose their medical conditions and in any way, shape, or form, or vaccines they have. It's a slippery slope. I think that there are opportunities and products out there that are trying to be developed in terms of health passports and things. But at the end of the day, I think you're going to see people getting temperature checked at entrances, probably through the close of 2021. And depending on how herd immunity is rolled across the country, we hope we're there by, say, September. I mean, I think every other league is looking at the NFL going, please be full. Because if the NFL is full, it means the NBA, NHL, MLB, again, further off because their seasons are a little bit different, but it opens up all this opportunity in Q4 to go to full venue with fans. But I think there's going to be temperature checks, and I think we're going to see masks potentially in venue, potentially as late as the end of Q4 of this year, just out of an abundance of caution. What was interesting this year is the flu has been somewhat, and I'm not a doctor. Let me go on record saying that. I'm not a doctor. But the flu has been somewhat irrelevant this year. It's been super low in terms of cases across the country because everyone wore a mask. So I think that as we kind of come out of the COVID pandemic, we're going to, you know, it's going to be weaning us off of masks. And I think once we get into that stadium environment or an arena environment, it'll all kind of come together in terms of what fans are most comfortable with. That's what's going to happen. I don't think people are judging anyone walking into a building these days or in the future with a mask. You'll say they're clearly trying to be protective. And I think that stigma will be gone because of people understanding what we went through in the past year. And again, by the time we're back in venue, year and a half.
That's interesting. Molly Arbogast joins us here this morning on the show, CEO of POV Sports Marketing, a career in professional sports. So what's going to change now for our experience? I've seen just in a lot of restaurants or takeout places, no cash anymore. It's all mobile. Yep. It's all credit card. It's all digital. Mm-hmm. Do you think that ends up being the wave of the future or the wave of the present at stadiums?
You bet. Teams, have taken advantage of the, we'll call it downtime for their venues to try to get the cashless experience streamlined and make sure that it's, there aren't any glitches and whatnot. I think we as a society have been now somewhat trained to know, oh, if I want to read the menu at this little restaurant outside, I've got to scan a QR code. QR codes have been around a long time.
Sure have.
Everyone knows how to use them now. That's what's funny. I mean, my 77-year-old mother knows how to use a QR code. And I think that that's, we've all kind of elevated our technology game. So cashless will be something I think people are far more comfortable with. What a lot of venues are doing is they're putting in what are considered reverse ATMs, where you can put cash into it and get a card back to potentially use that as a cashless experience at the concessions. But I think everyone's going to be stepping up their game. You know, when you walk through an airport these days, you can walk into those kind of grab-and-go, honesty-type stores where you're buying and doing the transaction yourself. I think slowly we're migrating. There are different solutions on the market right now for that. And I think over time, you'll start to see that more and more in venues and innovative venues across the country. I also think venues have the whole mobile ticketing. It's something that a lot of leagues are extremely comfortable and used to at this point in venues. I think that's going to become the norm within the next 2 to 3 years, and the printed tickets of the past will be gone fully. Also, the venues themselves, many of them are investing in significant type HEPA-type filtration systems for air in venues so that fans do feel safe, obviously not open-air venues, but in the larger arenas across the country. And we work with a company called ASM Global, and they run a lot of different convention centers, stadiums, and arenas across the country. And they've rolled out a whole platform called Venue Shield, where it's a top-to-bottom cleaning after every single event with ServPro, I believe it is, which, again, they're professionals in cleaning things. But I think they're stepping up everything. The changeover between event is just, the building is spotless and sanitized, most importantly.
What about capacity and proximity to others? This is concerts or games. Could we see venues take seats out, kind of like not selling the middle seat on an airline, to make sure there's more space around people permanently?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think that, and again, this is just my opinion, but I think that that would be probably taking it a bit too far. I think we're at a point where it's about having people become get access to vaccinations, get your vaccine, and again, continue with the hand washing and the wearing the masks and social distancing until we're to that herd immunity point, which again, we're on our way. I think I heard this morning we're at 40 million vaccines distributed, 20 million people total have had their two vaccines. All right, so we're almost at March 1st. So 340 million people in the country. We're not vaccinating kids. If we keep on this track and they continue, you know, snowstorms and weather, you know, blessings to the people in Texas and what they all just went through. It's supposed to be 75 down there today. So hopefully all that snow will be gone. But we got to get the vaccines out there. I don't think you'll see seats being removed. I think also local health, well, at the end of the day, it's the local health officials that tell these venues whether or not they can open. And if, and as we look at kind of the wave across the country, it'll depend on where that community is in terms of daily rates and things like that. But I think as we get into Q4 of this year, I think we'll be shoulder to shoulder again.
Let's just go to the middle of the summer, okay? June or July, you've got the NBA Finals, you've got the Stanley Cup Final, you've got the middle of the baseball season. Do you foresee those arenas and those stadiums being close to capacity? Are they going to be 50% capacity? What do you think happens?
I think they'll be 50. I think those leagues will try to get to 50. But again, it'll just depend on vaccine acceptance and what the local health departments are seeing in the community in terms of the spread of the virus. I feel like so many people across the country have had it as well and not necessarily been hospitalized, that just what we're hearing with a lot of places opening up, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like the virus has spread across this country at a rate that could, you know, was unprecedented. And I just think it between people having antibodies, having survived the virus, not had any hospitalization issues, people getting vaccines, the convergence of all of that data is going to get us to that 50% potential capacity in July with the leagues going into their finals.
Kind of an overview of where we were last year with our conversation this year. I think it's safe to say last year you were pessimistic around Memorial Day. This year you're optimistic as we're talking
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely. I'm so optimistic about what sports and what the world's going to look like in August, September of this year. I don't know about you all, but I am dying to go to a tailgate and I'm going to go really early. Maybe we'll rent a camper and stay overnight the night before if the parking lots will let us. I think that that sense of, while I think we all did the best that we could, you know, my agency works with brands like Wawa and First Trust Bank and Stroman Bread, Bimbo Bakeries. You know, we tried to get as creative as possible to connect with fans with our sports partnerships, Eagles, Ravens, Capitals, you name it. And nothing replaces that live experience. So the ability to be in a venue and high five a total stranger, I think the high fives might take a little while. Maybe it's a high elbow. But I think that, you know, we all want to be back together again, celebrating sports, whether it's at the event, at a bar, outside at a patio, but just together celebrating sports the way it's supposed to be consumed. And I myself cannot wait to go to the Eagles season opener.
Strikes me that leagues and corporations through this pandemic realize the value of fans in attendance, and that I don't know if it was ever taken for granted, but does it feel like there's a renewed value put on us as the fan now being there?
150%. I think that over the past 15 years, while the broadcasts of live sports have been enhanced with on-screen virtual digital, you know, virtual signage and virtual lines and, you know, being able to see the first down marker in the NFL, you know, that's been great. But nothing replaces that shot of a fan screaming in the stands. It adds to the experience. It's truly the 12th man experience of the fans absolutely matter. And I think it matters to the players. They need to, that home court advantage massively changed. And I think, I know the players felt it for sure. And I know that the organizations miss having their season ticket members in the venue, hosting people at their first ever game, commemorating birthdays, all those different things the teams do. I think you're going to see a renewed commitment to the fan and the fan experience from the leagues as well as the teams, because without fans, sports is not sports.
Yep, we found that out the hard way this past year plus, but it is good to have the bright light on the horizon coming up, because I'm with you. I'm very optimistic here. President and CEO of POV Sports Marketing, Molly Arbogast, joining us this morning on the show. Molly, I really love our conversations. Thanks. This was so great this morning again.
Likewise. Let's talk in a year, but let's do it like from a tailgate somewhere warm, because we had a lot of snow. And just, again, I'll bring the barbecue stuff. And again, just can't wait to be together again in venues, cheering on our favorite teams across the country.
I like it. Thanks, Molly.
Take care. Have a good one.
You too. Molly Arbogast joining us this morning here on the show. So a couple of things that I take away from that. Number one, I'm with her. I'm very optimistic. It's great to hear somebody who's professionally involved in how companies and leagues are working events to feel very optimistic about fans being back at attendance in full and soon, and what sports is going to look like. So I'm with her. I just feel like 2021 is going to start opening up month by month by month and feel better and better and better. So that's the first part. To just hear kind of her confidence in it as well is very reassuring. Number two, though, we became really so much more important over the last year. We became more important to leagues and to teams and to companies. And that's very empowering, because the trajectory of sports had been, we can make money no matter what, and we can really take advantage and exploit the fan no matter what. And TV revenue is so high that a lot of teams and a lot of leagues would even look past their attendance. Not a big deal. We're making all this TV money. And what this year hammered home is, there is no TV money if there aren't fans in attendance, because the TV product is still a show, and the show looks better, and the show sounds better, and the show feels like a show when we're there. And that's a huge thing. It's a huge sea change in sports. It is going to mean that moving forward, there's going to be more stuff built into our experience to get us there. It's going to mean doing some solids for us. I think it's going to mean prices on tickets might not be gouging anymore. At the start, when everybody wants to go to games, it's going to be, I'm sure, expensive to get seats, etc. But in the future, the value of having us there, of companies saying we want to be part of the live experience, we want to make sure the fans are taken care of, let's give them this experience, let's give them this at the ballpark, let's have them do this, let's give them this type of gift or tie-in. It's huge. TV networks, they don't want to pump in fake crowd noise. They want us there to make that noise. This has not been good for them to pump in crowd noise. It's awkward. So I think all of that is a really cool thing and a positive that came out of this kind of devastating last calendar year. Very cool to have Molly Arbogast here on the show. She was great, as usual. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who get it done. Who gets it done? This week it's Brandon Ingram. His three-pointer with 33 seconds left in overtime sealed the Pelicans' come-from-behind win over the Celtics. What a gag job by the Celtics on Sunday. The forward had 33 points of the win. The Celtics continue their slide. The Player of the Week sponsored by Grainger for all the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry backed by 24/7 support and free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. AB has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogish, good morning.
DA, good morning again. So it's not exactly stunned to a news, but the Washington Wizards have won 5 in a row, raising their record to 11-17. The win streak includes the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Blazers, and now the Lakers after last night's 127-124 OT win at Staples. Bradley Beal says they knew they could do this.
I think that's been kind of our mindset the last couple of games. We realized that other team has great players. You know, they may be a great team, but we are a great team too. We can be great, you know, if we play the right way. And we've been
doing
that.
Beal scored 33. 32 from Russell Wilson to keep the Lakers struggling. They've dropped three in a row, 4 of 5, playing again without Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder. The Jazz hit a team record 28 threes in a 132-110 home win over the Hornets. The Suns ran over the Blazers 132-100, and the Heat won in OKC 108-94. That's a 4-3 road trip for Miami. Still can't picture the Seahawks actually trading him, but roughly a third of teams have checked on Russell Wilson's availability. That according to NFL Network. Apparently, teams are thinking a possible price tag begins with 3 first-round picks. The Eagles are expected to release wideout Alshon Jeffrey once the new league year begins next month. Philly's release of DeSean Jackson became official yesterday. Four-time Pro Bowl guard Mike Iupati retiring after 11 seasons, and the Jaguars expected to decline their option on veteran tight end Tyler Eifert, making him a free agent. College hoops, Oklahoma State, a 74-69 OT upset of number 18 Texas Tech, and number 19 USC beat Oregon 72-58. And on ice, Florida's other team also won last night.
Oh.
Rebound, Palat. Looks to walk in front. Chops a shot on net. Score! It's in! I think it's Palat's goal! Point was also there. What tenacity from Palat, though.
Nobody yells on a Monday night in February at a hockey game like Dave Mishkin on Lightning Radio. Andre Palat did score that tie-breaking goal in the third period, sending Tampa Bay to a 4-2 win in Carolina. While those Panthers beat the Stars 3-1, the Wild dumped the Sharks 6-2, and the Flames shut out the Leafs 3-0. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, AB. When we come back, is Fernando Tatis at 22 years old crazy for thinking about statues at this point in his career? It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Good morning, DA. How are you? Longtime listener. We listened to you when you first came on the late night and then now in the early morning. And we dig your podcast. And I'm surprised to get on this. And I'm really happy.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, DA. How are you? March Madness is right around the corner. And this weekend, CBS is 2 full days of college hoops as a triple header. The action starts on Saturday, noon Eastern, with a battle in the Big 12 between Texas and Texas Tech. Then on Sunday, 3 more games capped off in the late afternoon Big Ten showdown when Iowa takes on Ohio State. 2 college hoops triple headers on Saturday and Sunday. Beginning at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, the road to the Final Four is on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
And John Rothstein is going to join us here on the show. John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, is going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll basically ask him who's good and who's not, because I think a lot of people need that guidance at this point in time. On this day next week, on Tuesday next week, already going to be March the 2nd. So this time next week, we'll be into March and thinking about March Madness and conference tournaments, etc. So let's do it, huh? We'll get some clarification on this coming up in about 13 minutes from now with John Rothstein. I like the Fernando Tatis Jr. contract. I like it. What can I say? I like it. He's 22 years old. He's already one of the best players in baseball. He's clearly a fan attraction. They have a great, young, fun team. They are a magnetic type of team because they feel cool, they feel fresh, they feel new. They're Southern California. They got badass uniforms, jerseys, caps, etc. And they've got one of the best players in baseball who's only 22 years old. Why wouldn't you sign that guy to a long-term deal? Why wouldn't you lock him in? Is 14 years a long time? Sure. But he's 22. That's way different than paying Albert Pujols at 32 for 10 years. You get a 22-year-old for 14. And he's even got a great nickname, El Nino. So he was asked yesterday about signing a 14-year contract. What about the Padres? 14 years. Don't you want to hit the open market again? Don't you want to go out and hit free agency? Don't you want to have your choice of teams? I mean, the Padres have never won a World Series. So why would you lock yourself into 14 years there? And he said, I want my statue out there. I see Tony Gwynn. I see Trevor Hoffman. I want my statue at Petco Park. Which is pretty audacious for a 22-year-old, no? The guy said 2 seasons in Major League Baseball. 2! And he's talking about a statue. And yet, I like that attitude. I like that attitude. And I'm not usually one that applauds people wanting to microwave things. I hate that. I hate that part of American society where everything has to be right now, at the tip of our fingertips all of the time. It is made for a really demanding America. It's a really demanding, self-absorbed culture because everything is so tangible for us. We can have anything, whatever we want, at all hours of the day, no matter what. We barely have to lift a finger to do so. I mean, if you want to sit down on the couch and watch sports for 24 hours, you could do that and never have to deal with anything. Your TV for $300 could be opulent and huge and HD. You can get it at a grocery store these days. You want whatever you want delivered, you got it. DoorDash, Uber Eats, whatever it is, on your phone, pop, 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 whatever I want. I don't even have to have the cash. Remember, back in the day, you'd have cash to tip that pizza guy, pay that pizza guy. Nope, it's all credit card, digital on my phone, whatever. You want to adjust the heat to make it a little warmer? You can do that on your phone. Boop, boop, boop. Don't have to get up to do that. Only thing you got to do is get up to go to the bathroom. That's about it. Everything else you can do from your phone. Look up, do this, do my bills, da, da, da. Want to watch this. Oh, you know what? During commercial break, I don't want to sit through these beer commercials and pizza commercials. Instead, I want to watch 6 minutes of this YouTube video compilation. Yeah, I'm going to do that, pop that up on my screen or do that on my phone, ba, ba, ba. I can text whoever I need to text right now, scroll through Twitter, boop, boop, boom, no problem. I mean, everything is dedicated to you. So I don't really like the fast food of culture these days where nobody wants to wait for anything. But for Fernando Tatis, I don't think he's saying I'm a legend already. I think he's saying, I want to get there. And the way that I get there is this path. I got to be here. To be a legend, I got to be here. And that to me is exciting. That to me is a guy that wants to make a commitment. And at 22 years old, who wants to make a commitment these days? You know, Tatis can sit at his phone and watch his income, his bank account, go through the roof. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, I made this much. Oh, okay. He can scroll through his DMs and have every chick alive probably hit him up. Great. You can have fans adore you on Twitter. Boom, you can respond to them. That's great. I'm sure you're getting endorsement deals through the roof. Your agent, you're just texting, and you're thinking that life is great. I live in San Diego, and I just made $340 million, and man, this is good. And what he's saying is, it's got to be about more than that. I want to have a statue. And that is audacious for a 22-year-old. But I hope that it drives him to be that great. I hope it's what truly drives him. When we come back on the show, John Rothstein, let's talk college hoops. Let's do bracketology next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.